We're in Luke chapter 7, and you remember that Jesus had just finished up talking about John the Baptist, what kind of person he was and what was going on and how great he was. And then verse 29 of chapter 7, we read, "All the people that heard him and the publicans, they justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." In other words, some listened to John and were baptized. Repentance is a symbol of their hearts turning back to God. And some just refused to listen. They just wouldn't hear it. And that, you saw the Pharisees and the doctors of the law and the lawyers. They were that way. They just wouldn't listen to John. And the Lord said this in verse 31. That's where we begin this morning. "Whereunto then shall I liken this, the men of this generation, the people of this generation?" How? What can I compare them to? Or what can I liken them to? What are they like? They are like children that are sitting or playing in the marketplace, in the city square. "They call to each other and they say this, 'We played music and you wouldn't dance with us. And we played funeral and you wouldn't mourn with us.' You can't be pleased. No matter what we do or how we try to communicate it, you won't come along." And that's when Jesus says, here's my point. See, John the Baptist came and he didn't eat bread or drink wine. He led a really different lifestyle. You see, the things he ate were a little bit different. And he was really staid, if you will. And you didn't like that. You said, what? He's demon-possessed. Look at the way he dressed. Look at the way he eats. The guy's nuts. He says, now the Son of Man, Jesus the Messiah, he comes along, eating and drinking. He goes to the wedding feast. He goes to people's homes for dinner. And what do you say about him? He's a glutton and a wino. And he's a friend of publicans and sinners. So no matter what you do, no matter how we try to communicate the message to you, you'll find something wrong with it. You're just not interested. Of course, you can see he's really focusing on the doctors of the law, the lawyers, the religious people. Then he says, you know, but wisdom is justified of all her children. You're going to see in the long run that those who walk in wisdom will be the ones that turn out to be walking the correct way, he says. Now he goes on. And we read this in verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would come and eat with him. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus home for dinner. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. Now, here we have, get the picture, Jesus is going to a Pharisee's house. A very religious individual. Kind of like me and you, we're very, very religious, you know. And Jesus is going to his house to eat, going to have dinner. Well, it was customary in those days to wash the feet of your guests. Why? Well, the roads were mostly dirt roads during that time. There were some that were paved with stone, rare, but some of those in some of the inner cities you would find it. But for the most part, dirt roads. Now, and the common footwear for that day of the common person would be sandals. So, and put those two together. You're walking on dirt, dusty, dirty roads, and you got sandals on. Your feet are going to be dirty, and even probably muddy. If it rains or you run into some water situations, you're going to have muddy, dirty feet, and they're going to stink. Thank you very much. So it would be common for a guest to come to your home that you would wash their feet. Normally not you. If you owned a home, that means you had enough to have servants, and the lowest of the low servant would wash the feet. That's the lowest of the low jobs. So here we have Jesus at Simon's house, who is very religious, really keeps all the rules. Now behold, verse 37, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. I don't know what she did for a living. I don't know very much about her. I don't know if she had children, if she was married, divorced, I don't know if she was a widow. I don't know anything about her except this. She is a sinner. Now, I can understand that. I can relate to that. Can you? You don't have to answer. Other people are looking. That's all we know, is she's a sinner. Well, when she heard that Jesus was going to eat at the Pharisee's house, she went. She brought an alabaster box of ointment with her. also customary. Not here in the United States, but customary, even to this day over in Israel and that area. Very customary. When a rabbi or a pastor or shepherd or a teacher of some kind came to your home for a meal, it was customary that others would, without invitation, come by the home, come on in and listen. They wouldn't be invited to the meal necessarily, so they'd stand up against the walls or squat down over in the corner or just be out of the way, but they wanted to hear what the shepherd had to say. Let's hear what the rabbi, what the master, what the teacher, what the pastor, we just want to listen to what's going to happen. So you wouldn't invite your neighbors, they would just show up. And not only neighbors, but people all around the city who heard might show up. You could have a crowd in your house if the shepherd's coming over. Or the rabbi. We were in Israel. The last time we were in Israel, we were invited to a Palestinian Christian home in a certain city. I'm not allowed to say because it was basically supposed to be underground Christians. And so they said, when you come to our house, would you guys teach Bible studies? Now, there were three of us were pastors. And there was a team of eight of us. We said, sure, we'd love to. That'd be fun. And we went to the home and we went up on the roof. That's kind of where they hang out. Houses are too close together. So we're up on the roof. We're going to teach a Bible study. And as we begin the study, you notice that the streets have come alive. And there's all kinds of movement in the streets. And then soon the people are climbing up the stairs. And soon you've got people sitting all around the edge of the roof, around the wall. People are sitting on. They're just there to hear. They weren't invited. They're just there to hear what the shepherd's going to say. And that was common in these days. So it makes sense that she heard Jesus was going to be there. She's probably not alone. There are many others in the room. But she shows up because she wants to hear what Jesus has to say, what the rabbi's going to say. And she was what? A sinner. Don't forget that. She has this alabaster box of ointment. No, this is a different situation than the one you're thinking of, I believe. This is a whole different situation. Although they were expensive, they were semi-common. They come out of northern Africa, and they put them in these nice little alabaster boxes. It was ointment, different kind of ointments that you could get. They were expensive. And she brought it with her. I don't know, maybe going to give it to him as a gift. I'm not sure why she brought the thing, but she had it. And she stood at his feet. Okay? Now, you got to get the picture right, or this is going to sound confusing to you. You know, we sit at a table a lot of times, and we'll sit at chairs when we're having dinner. Well, no, she didn't crawl under the table and stand at his feet. She couldn't fit under the table. No. No, here's the way you did it in those days. The table was shaped like a square horseshoe. And you would sit on the outside of it, and you wouldn't sit in chairs. The tables were low, and you would lean on your right or left hand and just lean against what they called a couch, what you and I would call a big long pillow, like a body pillow. They would lay on that for comfort, and then, of course, the head and shoulders and everything would be right near the table so you can reach over and dip. Remember, you're allowed to double dip. And your feet kind of go out back there. Why? Because they're usually dirty. Or at least maybe they've been washed some, but you can imagine, it might smell. So you want to keep that away from the food. So they're leaning there near the table, and their feet would be out back somewhere. And so she walks in, of course, she's not invited, but she's going to walk in, stand probably up near against the wall, close to Jesus, and his feet happen to be right there where she's standing. She wanted to get close to Jesus. And the Bible says, as she stood at his feet, behind him, that's why his feet were behind him, because of the position he was laying in, and she started to weep. Why? Because you see, Jesus is talking to Simon and whoever else has been invited to dinner. Now, the room may be filled with people, but he's speaking with Simon and the guys and people that are invited to dinner. And she's listening to the conversation. And as she's listening, something gets to her heart and she begins to cry. Not just a trickle or two. Tears start pouring out of her eyes. And they're falling off her face and they're falling onto Jesus' feet. As she's crying, she's close enough to where she's literally, her tears are falling on his feet. So what does she do? She began to wash his feet with her tears. Her tears started falling on the feet of Jesus Christ. And what she did was she stooped down to wipe up the tears off his feet with her hair. Probably didn't have a towel or anything. So she starts to use her hair to wipe his feet. And she began to kiss his feet. Now remember, these are muddy, dirty feet. that would be a sign of worship and reverence and high respect is what's going on here. What started it all, something touched her heart and she began to weep and the tears fell on the feet of Jesus. And she stooped down quickly probably and began to wipe his feet using what she had available, her long hair. Remember we read in the Bible that a lady's hair is her glory. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. She had the ointment, and so she's thinking, while I'm down here, she anoints his feet with the ointment. What kind of lady is she, everybody? Yeah, I can't forget that. She's a sinner. Well, now, when the Pharisee, Simon, which had invited Jesus to dinner, when he saw it, he spoke in his own heart. He's talking to himself, not out loud. And he says, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what kind of woman this is that is touching him. She's a sinner. You see, he invited Jesus to his house for dinner, but you don't quite know why. But you start to get a little glimpse of it here. Why did you invite Jesus? I don't really believe in the guy. I just want to see if I can find something wrong with him. I'll talk with him and maybe I can catch him on some things. Let's see if we can trip him up. And that happens to you quite often, doesn't it? If people know you're a Christian, they want you to share. They see if they can catch you. Oh, yeah? Well, what about this? What about the tribes that are way down in such, and they have never heard? What about them? And you give them an answer. Oh, yeah, well, then what about the children starving over in? And you give them an answer, and they say, oh, yeah, well, they're looking for a way. Then they don't care. I don't think this guy cares about Jesus. And then he goes, I knew it. He's not the Son of God. He's not even as much as a prophet. See, if he were a prophet, he wouldn't know what kind of woman this is. He wouldn't let him touch her. Why? Because, of course, custom, Mosaic law says this. If you were touched by a sinner, you were considered ceremonially unclean. So now you're considered unclean if a sinner touched you. Go back to Leviticus. It's kind of funny. It says if a person spits on you and they have a disease, you get the disease. So stay away from people that have diseases and spit. I mean, obviously there's wisdom. If he were even a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. Now notice, everyone, Jesus knows what this man is thinking. He didn't say it out loud. He thought it to himself. And Jesus knows what he's thinking. Jesus always knows what I'm thinking. We think we're hiding it from him. Adam, where are you? Well, I was hiding. Like God couldn't find you behind that rock or that tree. Where are you, Adam? I see you hiding behind that rock or that tree. Where are you? Why were you hiding? Why would you be hiding? Well, because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to? Well, the woman you gave me. She gave it to me and I ate. Woman, what have you done? The serpent tricked me and I ate it. Serpent, what have you done? The dog, the family dog said if there had been a cat, they'd have passed it on down to the family gerbil. Let's just keep pushing it. Somebody's going to take blame for this. Well, Jesus read his thoughts, knew his thoughts, and Jesus said to him, Simon, I've got something that I want to say to you. And Simon said, well, Master, go ahead. Hey, take note that so far, Jesus hasn't paid any attention to this woman. Isn't that interesting? Simon has. Everybody else in the room has. But Jesus is eating. And she starts wiping his feet, weeping and wiping his feet with her hair and anointing him. And Simon's thinking something. Jesus is watching Simon and says, Simon, I've got something I want to say to you. Okay, Lord, what is it? Go ahead and say it. I want to tell you, there was a certain man who was a creditor. He loaned out money. And he had two that were debtors to him, two people that owed him the money. One owed him 500 pence, another owed him 50. 500 pence in our money doesn't matter, but in our money would be $16,000. Now, this is the year 2000, right? Or whatever this year is. But this is 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine how much $16,000 must have been that long ago? That's a fortune. So one of them owed him $16,000 and one of them owed him $1,600. $1,600 is quite a bit too. And he says in verse 42, when they didn't have anything to pay him back with, He frankly, purposely, on purpose, he forgave them both. Meaning, forget the debt. You don't owe me 16,000. You don't owe me 1,600. Just forget it. He says, tell me then, Simon, tell me this. Which of them will love him the most? Which one of those would love him more? The one that owed 16,000 and was let out of the debt of 16,000? Or the one that owed 1,600 was let out of debt of 1,600? Simon answered and said, you know, I suppose the one that was forgiven the most. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Well said, Simon. He says, you know, he turned to the woman and then he looked back at Simon. So he looks to the woman, looks at Simon and says, you know, do you see this woman? Now Simon's been looking at her already. He knows she's a sinner. Her reputation is so bad that Simon knows she's a sinner. Now her reputation's all around town. So whatever kind of sinner she was, everybody knew it. And Jesus asks an interesting question. He already knows what Simon was thinking when Simon said, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't let him touch her. Jesus says, do you see this woman? Do you hear it? Do you understand the question? Simon, you're looking at her, but you don't see what's going on here, Simon. You have no clue what's going on around you. Christian, there are many times when you and I will look and have no clue at what's going on. We'll just look and say, look at him, look at them, look at those, look at that. Jesus said, do you see this woman? Simon could have answered, mm-mm, not really. I mean, I see her there, but no, I don't. And anyway, Jesus said, I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. I mean, the very basic, simple custom of the land would have been to wash the feet of your guest. And you didn't do that, Simon. See, Simon doesn't really care too much about Jesus. He's probably there just trying to trick him. He says, you know, she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You didn't give me any kiss. Now see, common greeting, remember, in Europe today you still see it. They'll give you a hug and they'll kiss you on both cheeks. You've seen that. And Jesus said, and that was common in those days. They would greet one another with that kiss. They'd kiss each other on each cheek and give each other a quick hug. And he says, you know, when I showed up, you didn't wash my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped it with her hair. You gave me no kiss. This woman, since I got here, hasn't ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you didn't anoint. You know, it was common because your people would travel through this hot weather. You'd bring them in and wash their feet and anoint their head with oil. In case they did smell a little bit from the trip, everything would smell beautiful. You didn't anoint my head. This woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Now, let me say something to you. Jesus was not implying that she was a bigger sinner than the Pharisee. If that's what you think, you missed it. He was not implying, oh, she's got many sins. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a louse. No, his implication was not that at all. He wasn't implying she was bad and Simon was good. He was simply saying this. She was willing to admit to her sins. Make sense? He says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to him to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him, at dinner with him, they began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She's a sinner, Simon. Now, Simon, let me ask you a question. A guy has two people owing money. One owes 16 grand, or 16,000, and one owes 1,600. Who do you think is going to be the most grateful? Simon says, the one that's been forgiven much. And he goes, right, Simon, now take a look. Look at the way you've treated me and look at the way she's treated me. Do you notice a difference in these two, Simon? Hello. You know, she's willing to admit that she's a sinner. An old evangelist, years and years ago, made this statement as he traveled through the world, evangelizing, preaching. He said this, "It is getting harder and harder to find sinners anymore." What does he mean? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" You know, you begin to talk to people about their need for Jesus. What's the common response? Christian and non-Christian alike. What's the common response? They'll say about themselves, they'll say, I'm doing okay. I'm not perfect, but I'm not doing too bad. I'm doing all right. You say, you need a Savior. Oh, no, I'm not. I've never done anything really bad. I haven't raped or I haven't murdered or I haven't, you know, robbed banks or anything. I'm really living a pretty decent life. I like to call that respectable sinning. Well, most of us are respectable sinners, aren't we? You know, you just lie, cheat, steal, but they're little things. We're all mass murderers. We're all serial killers. It's just that none of us brags about it. We know that because murder is in the heart. We go, I've been reading the newspaper about a guy that's a serial killer. He deserves to die. Yeah, well, with what measure you hand it out, it comes back. What kind of people are we? You say, I'm not a murderer. I say, then you're a liar too. Think about it. People say this, basically, I'm a good person. And I've also heard it said, well, all people, all mankind are basically good. Come on. I mean, I've got a bridge to sell you, Mr. Washington. Yeah, basically all mankind are good. You believe that? It's not true. But here we've got our Simon attitudes. Look at her. Look at them. Look at those. Oh, Lord. Well, how are you doing? Well, I'm not perfect. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm doing okay. You think you're doing okay, you're not going to be at the feet of Jesus. You're going to be out there doing what you want to do, doing what you think. And that's why we can't get along. Because even as Christians, we've got this attitude, well, yeah, I'm saved by grace, sure. But, you know, I read my Bible, I go to church, and I don't smoke, don't chew, I don't date girls that do. I'm doing fine. I'm doing well. But you catch yourself sitting across the table from Jesus instead of being at his feet, don't you? We're that way sometimes. Romans 3:23. People say, basically, I'm a good person. Basically, all people are good. Well, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. And what does all mean in the Greek? See? All. That's what it means. Now, Romans 6:23 continues the thought. Now, the wages of sin is death. If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift, a free gift. You see, where we should be is at the feet of Jesus, admitting, even now, as a Christian, I am hopeless without you. My flesh without you is going to do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, be in the wrong places, have the wrong attitudes. I need to be at your feet all the time. And someone who thinks they're doing okay usually has forgotten where they've come from. And so Jesus to the Ephesian church says, you have left your first love. Do you remember, have any of you ever fallen in love? Well, you don't fall in love, you fall in ditches and things. Have you ever felt like you were in love? Remember what that was like? You did really stupid things. We've matured now. You buy people things they don't need. I brought this for you. Oh, great, a can opener. Cool. Thank you. I was a single, young, handsome assistant pastor once. And when you're an assistant pastor or a pastor, it don't matter what you look like. Some people think you're important, especially if you're single. And so the girls all ask me out. Can you imagine? I'd get to work early. I've broken that habit, but I used to really get to work early. I'd show up at 4:30 in the morning. And there was this one girl. I don't care what time I got there, there would be freshly made, still warm quiche. If I showed up at 4, it would be there. If I showed up at 4:30, if I showed up, I don't know how she knew. She had UPS. She just knew. Nice girl. And I thought, you know, when you're first around somebody and you really like them, you do the dumbest things, you know. People come in my office, they want to get married. And they're in love, man. I mean, and they're walking that far off the ground, you know. That's a stinking weather. Cars are crashing. Things are blowing up all around. And they go, what a beautiful day, isn't it, honey? Oh, it's beautiful. Where should we go for lunch? Kutzum pie. Well, Kutzum pie. Call me that, I'll hit you. Maybe you've forgotten when you accepted the Lord. How excited you were to know that He forgave you of every bit of that garbage, every bit of it. But you see, sometimes we come a little ways from that. We think we're doing all right. We catch ourselves almost like Simon, sitting there thinking, look at her, look at them, look at this, look at that. All this is instead of being at His feet. Saying, Lord, even today, I need your help. Without you, I'm not going to make it. And there's this woman just willing to admit she's a sinner. That's all. Just willing to admit it. You know, here's something that I think we forget, we as Christians. Because we're the ones who are claiming to be forgiven by grace through faith. That's us. That's us. We're the ones. And here's something we forget. As we walk through our daily lives, there are sins of commission. That word means to commit. Sins that we do, things that we do, we shouldn't have done. Those are called sins of commission. But then there are sins of omission. That means to omit or to not have done those. There are things that we ought to be saying and doing, and we're not doing that. That's just as big a sin. But usually we catch ourselves like Simon going, oh, I wouldn't let that woman touch me. Look at her. She's this. But there are many things he should have been doing, and he wasn't doing them. He was a sinner and didn't even know it. That's what Jesus was saying. All of us are sinners. She recognizes it. Simon, you don't think you are. I find something interesting. Jesus says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. People were amazed at that. Then finally, in verse 50, he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Simon saw himself as righteous and as pure, didn't he? He's a Pharisee. I keep the law. I mean, I tithe 10% of everything. I mean, if they grew in their garden some tomatoes, and 10 tomatoes grew, one of those was God's. I mean, that was it. I mean, with herbs, they would tithe 10% of even the little bitty herbs. They'd count out the little mustard seeds. Come on. I mean, they were righteous and pure. That's how he saw himself. Keeping the law, doing good things. Therefore, or because of that, his treatment of Jesus was much different than this lady. Notice that? Didn't he treat Jesus different than this woman did? And everybody around the room looks at him as being a Pharisee and all right, and her as being, oh yuck, what's she doing? She's even touching him. And who walked out of the room completely forgiven of all their sins? By grace, through faith. That woman. Notice, the woman is forgiven by faith alone. Simon, as the chapter closes, is still in his sin. Still in his sin and has rejected Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. But it was the same Jesus. And they were all in the same room. They were sitting at the same dinner. They all heard the same words. But the words made a difference in the heart of one who was willing to say, I am weak. I need you. And she falls at the feet of Jesus. Do you want to be where you can be used? Do you want to be where you can be strengthened? Do you want to be where you can grow? Be at the feet of Jesus. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, then you of all ought to be at the feet of Jesus. Thankful that Jesus has given me life, given you life freely. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's Romans 6:23. The gift of God. It's a gift freely given to you. Now, will you remember, Christian, from now on, how you got saved? Paul the Apostle, as you read through his letters, he never forgets where he came from. It's by the end of his life. First, Paul says, I'm a sinner. I persecuted, but God saved me because I did it in ignorance. Later on, he goes, I'm a sinner, and I was the grossest thing. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, I end up not doing. The things I don't want to say, they start coming out of my mouth. Woe is me. Who's going to help me? God's going to help me. It's by Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. But by the end of his life, you'd have thought he'd matured some. What does he say by the end of his life? I am the chief of all sinners. This man has a self-esteem problem. He never forgot where he came from. And he always was thankful that the Lord had forgiven him and every day would use him. So he was humble and he remained at the feet of Jesus. That's where we belong. See, he has forgiven me a lot. He has forgiven you a lot. Whether we will acknowledge it or not is the key to this whole thing. Whether we will humble ourselves and say, I am grateful to you and I want to serve you, I worship you, I reverence you for life. Simon didn't see that. The woman is forgiven by faith alone. Simon is still in his sins when the chapter ends. We have choices to make, you and me. How is your walk with the Lord? Those of you that are not Christians, do you really want to have your sins washed away? The only way is to come to Jesus Christ, to give your life and your heart to Jesus. Those of you that are Christians, how's the walk going? Have you sort of taken the seat of Simon? And that's why you can't seem to work with him, work with her, get along with them, because you're doing okay. I mean, not perfect, but a little better than them. We've got hearts that need to be dealt with, and that's what we ask that God will do, always. To keep us at his feet, where we're usable. Pray about these things. Read through it again and see if that's what it says. Go back through it verse by verse and see what is God saying. And then listen to the Lord. Fall down before Jesus Christ and cry out to him. And listen to what he says to you. Let's bow our heads together.